back. President Bill Clinton, James Patterson. All right, President Clinton, first things first before we move on. UFOs. You've been the president. You've seen all the info. Are they real?
You know, they've given us an idea for our next book.
Well, what do you know? What can you tell us?
The truth is that we've never proved one, but there are things flying around up there that we haven't fully identified yet. And keep in mind, there are basically a billion galaxies in an ever-expanding universe. I mean, you can't even get your mind around the sheer number of things that are out there.
But you've seen this.
And
you've seen the data.
Well, no one knows, but I think that the probability is that there's something you would call life somewhere else.
All right, and this
that
is
the...
This is book number three.
Right, so this is jumping off point.
This is definitely book number three.
Breaking news.
Yeah.
You're a Rhodes Scholar. You know what's up there. What is it? Tell us right
Come
now.
On.
What is it? Do we need to protect ourselves? Should we be buying duct tape or anything?
No.
We need to protect ourselves from ourselves.
No, yeah.
Just grab your earphones safe.
We need to worry about what Jim said. We need to get better at home.
Yes, yeah. Right. No,
in our earthly home and in our American home.
Mm-hmm. Hello, everybody. This is your host, Isaac Weishaupt. Of course, you're listening to Conspiracy Theories and Unpopular Culture. And today, we're going to do a bit of a mixtape. I got to clear out my queue here. I've got a queue of random topics that I wanted to cover because I am going deep on another Great Reset episode. Yes, I think we recorded, what, six of them so far? Now there's a number seven. And that's why I need to clear off the palette here because I got to go back into the Great Reset with Klaus Schwab. All this food shortage talk, all this housing crisis talk. Well, I hate to be one of those guys, but even if it's not coordinated, it certainly fits into the agenda. And we're going to talk about that on the Great Reset episode, but it's a lot of stuff. I mean, it's just a lot going on with that. So, that being said, I say all that to say this. This is going to be a real random show with a few random topics, okay? So let's go. Let's get into it. Mike Myers. He's got a new show coming out on Netflix. And you know Netflix. Got some relations to Edward Bernays. And there's some propaganda elements in there. And I know for many years I've always talked about how great Netflix is. Okay. I didn't know that. I didn't know Bernaysis were involved with this thing. But it is clear there's some leaning biases with the shows that they have on there, which is fine, whatever, like as long as you know that. I still think it's a great value, to be honest. Because I pay this massive cable bill, and I end up watching, you know, there's a disproportionate amount of Netflix watching, Amazon Prime watching relative to this outdated cable nonsense. But I pay the ransom fee for the cable because I'm an old timer. But, I mean, I don't want 6,000 sports ball channels. I just don't. I don't watch 95% of the channels that I'm paying for. It's craziness. Anyway, Mike Myers, not to be confused with the psycho killer on Halloween. The Austin Powers guy, right? The guy who was standing next to Kanye when Kanye said President Bush doesn't like black people. Does he? I don't know if he likes black people. I don't think any of these waspy elitists like anyone. But, you know, I get it. Anyways, remember that Mike Myers kind of froze still like, ooh boy. The programming is busting loose on this one. So that guy, Mike Myers, he's going to be on a show on Netflix called Pentaverte. And all that we know about it so far is that it's based on a secret society. It's a comedy. And he plays like seven different characters. Okay. but it's a secret society who's been working to influence world events since 1347. Well, isn't that interesting? Now, historically, this is right after the supposed destruction of the Knights Templar, which we all know they went underground and joined the Freemasonic secret societies and resurfaced later. I mean, at least that's the, to me, the most plausible theory about what happened with the Illuminati and all this stuff. Like, I believe it's this umbrella group that practice different occult arts. And anyway, so I don't know what's going to show up on this show, but keep an eye open for that, because I think that's going to be very curious. Prince Harry and Meghan Markle. They got some drama, some skeletons in the closet, as it were.
Harry and Meghan found an ancient, well, they didn't actually find it, but someone else found very near their estate up in Montecito, an ancient secret, human remains. And there's a mystery about these remains, but this is right near their home. They were found, and all they know at this point is that the bones are very, very old, and they are human. So now everyone in the neighborhood, of course, wonders what are homes built on top of, what's going on here. And that's what officials are now looking into.
Yeah, it's pretty remarkable, you guys. So basically, the Santa Barbara Sheriff's Office is saying that this neighboring property, they were doing some kind of landscaping, and some workers there stumbled across these old bones. And it's believed that these bones are the remains to someone that was kind of younger, an indigenous person, possibly from the Chumash tribe, which they lived in this area thousands of years ago. These bones specifically could be 11,000 years old. So now they've looped in forensic anthropologists to get on board with this project and, of course, make sure that everything's done properly. And this could turn into like a huge archaeological dig if it is discovered that these bones are historical. So it's pretty important and pretty awesome.
Yeah. And I mean, look, if they are indigenous people that were there, now you have to wonder about what happens if anybody wants to build anything else there. You got to tread lightly. And it also may affect if you want to do anything, if you want to make any other improvements on your property. If that's really what it is, there are going to be some issues about where you can dig, what you can build, what you can expand.
They said these bones were about 3 feet underground. And we've said it wasn't on Meghan and Harry's property, but it's directly adjacent to where their something like their $15 million mansion is located. And it has to make you wonder if there might be bones underneath their house also, and if the authorities want to somehow get in there and dig up this site. I mean,
they didn't build that house.
7,000 BC. Yeah. This is important stuff.
7,000 BC. Yeah. Well, yeah.
Right? Is that right? It could be 11,000. Maybe not.
11,000. No, I don't think that math works out, Mike.
No, that math doesn't work out. That's why I'm here. And
minus math
class. But look, that Chumash tribe, an indigenous tribe, 11,000 years ago. So
yeah.
these are probably very old bones, and I would imagine that the anthropologists are going to want to investigate this.
I'm going to read to you from TMZ. Meghan Markle, Prince Harry, ancient bones found buried on street near their house. Says millennia-old human remains have been discovered mere feet from Meghan Markle and Prince Harry's estate, and all signs point to them being early inhabitants of the area. We mean the bones, not Meghan and Harry. TMZ's always got the zingers, you know what I'm saying? You ever read their articles? The Santa Barbara Sheriff's Office confirmed some very old bones were recently found buried on a neighboring property next to the couple's Montecito home. This while construction crews were busy working on a landscaping gig. The bones were buried 3 feet under the earth, and at this point, it's suspected they might belong to a young indigenous person, perhaps someone from the Chumash tribe, which has ties to the Santa Barbara area dating back thousands of years. Authorities actually think the remains may be 11,000 years old. So yeah, we're talking way before any Euros came washing up ashore and wreaking havoc. Now, it also clarifies, you know, that they weren't on the property, but real close by. And what's curious to me is that, you know, they were on this sob story on Oprah. I watched the interview. Oh, we got kicked out of the family. Oh, life sucks. They're on a $15 million property. They got photos of it on TMZ. Which, I mean, that I guess that shouldn't surprise me, right? But, like, you know, Nazi Halloween costume Harry and Meghan Markle, they're making it look like they're totally just out on their own. Oh, we put our necks out. Oh. They made it sound like there was zero help. In fact, they made it sound like they were shunned from the royal family. Well, where'd they get this property? They acted like, oh, we're sleeping on the couch of, who was it? I don't know, Deepak Chopra or somebody. Oh, we're just on the couch. We're just trying to find a place to make it. This guy's so full of shit. And when Oprah's interviewing Meghan, she said she didn't know anything about Prince Harry before she met him. Get the hell out of here. She didn't even Google it or nothing, I guess. Oh, these two. I can't deal with it. I can't deal with the royal family. Like, sorry, my British listeners. I got a lot of fans in the UK. I don't call you fans. It sounds real dickheady. I got a lot of listeners in the UK. And maybe you guys hate the royals too. I don't know. But, like, I just don't get it. I have zero interest in them. I think it's a gross elitist thing. I don't know why the charade to pretend like they offer something up. Anyhow, the what's curious here is that they found they're on like some land with skeletal remains, which, okay, sure. There's probably lots of land in the whole country with skeletal remains. But like, this is the first time they found it? Do you remember? I can't find the story. I tried like hell. I blogged about this somewhere between 5 and 10 years ago. They found skeletons on top of, in the UK, on top of one of the Queen's property. Like sacrificed humans. I, for the life of me, I can't find the damn thing. Because now this story, it's like, you know, all the terms you use, they're pulling up this story. But we also have here and the idea is that the elites here are involved with human sacrifice. That's what we're trying to get at here, okay? Obviously, like, Prince Harry and Meghan Markle didn't sacrifice this guy, but, like, it's just very curious that they're on the property where they found this thing. You look at Ben Franklin, and here's a guy who, he lived in London for a while, right? Until 1776. Well, a few years back, they were doing some, you know, they preserved the house in London, right? Like, it's like a, what do you call it? National whatevers. And they were doing some house repairs, and they found a pit in the basement. And there were like 1,200 bones. And they said there was like over a dozen bodies, and half of them were children. And it, and they dated the bones, and it went back to prior to 1776, right when Ben Franklin lived in the home. And if you go to SmithsonianMag.com, they have an article about this, and they explain it all away. They say he was a Grand Master Mason of in PA there when he moved to America. So like they point that out, which I found curious. But then they assert, quote, "The truth isn't quite so dark." And they proceed to claim that it was probably an anatomy school run in his basement by a young friend named William Hewson. Cool story, bro. So, like, if I've got stacks of bones and dead bodies in my basement, can I just say, oh, it's for science? I'm just doing some experimentation down there. And now, in defense of that story, back in the day, what do you call it? Man, I can't think today. My mind is in the Great Reset right now. It's my new normal. Brain fog. The autopsies. Yeah, there you go. Autopsies, it wasn't really an accepted practice, and like this whole idea of like understanding the human body and by dissecting a corpse, it was, you know, wasn't very accepted. So maybe, right? Next, moving right along. I told you this is going to be random stuff. Sinead O'Connor, you remember her. She sang Nothing Compares to You, one of my favorite songs. Even as a young lad, I thought that was a great song. Well, anyways, she's got a new memoir called Rememberings. And she's giving the smoke to Prince. Yes. She's not letting the dead rest in peace. She's bringing the smoke. She says that she went to visit Prince right around the time of that. Because they were linked. Okay. So Prince. I could get this wrong. Sorry, Mr. Gates. I know if you're listening, you're freaking out probably because he's a big Prince fan. I think Prince actually did a version of Nothing Compares to You, but then she covered it. Or maybe he sold her the lyrics and then he did it later. I don't know. It doesn't matter. She linked up with Prince for this song, right? Right around this time frame. And she said when she went to visit him in 91, she saw a bunch of like devil worship stuff. And she said that he was into this stuff and his irises would disappear. I'm going to read to you from IrishPost.com. That's my Irish voice. It sounded more like an Amish voice. Can't help it. That is, quote, "That is as true as God," she told The Times. "I believe he was involved in devil business because an old girlfriend of his told me he had the power to make shit move around the room. He got me up there to see, could this bitch be one of mine? I guess he didn't bank on the Irish in me telling him to go F himself." She also claims that he was like hitting her and he beat up women. Pretty wild. And, you know, you consider how Prince died. I mean, I've talked about this in pretty good detail in the past. But like L.A. Reid confirmed when Prince died, L.A. Reid confirmed that when he talks about the elevator isn't going to break us down, he's talking about religion and spirituality. And the elevator is the devil. Okay. Now, how does that connect in occult history? That elevators are the devil? I have no idea. I'm going to guess it's because it has the power to go above ground and below ground. I couldn't tell you. It's not in any of these little occult symbolism encyclopedias that I've got. But that's my best guess. Now, it's also curious, M. Night Shyamalan had a movie called Devil, and it's about some people trapped in an elevator. And oh, by the way, I'm sure you heard my Super Bowl analysis from the weekend. Well, he released that album called After Hours in 2020. And if you watch the progression of the videos, it shows him going through the alchemical process of death and rebirth through the devil. And it's all an alchemical thing, right? Like, in the first video, he's in Vegas and he's hallucinating off of the toad, which is a drug, which, by the way, that porn star was trying to be a shaman or something and had a buddy of his lick a toad and the guy died and now he's in prison for murder or something. But anyways, the ideas of the Apollonian and Dionysian rituals to make contact with higher powers comes into play here when you talk about hallucinogens and psychedelics. It's about opening up the mind. And that's what happens at the weekend. He opens up the mind to make contact. Then the next video, you know, he's starting to get beat up. He's starting to, the death process, right? What's alchemy, the negredo, the blackening. It's all about purging out all the toxins and preparing for ego death. Like, it's not an easy process. Then he, and in one of the, it's not a music video, but it's called like a short film. It shows him going underground. Again, initiation stuff. The initiates always go underground. That's why in the Skull of Bones fraternal ceremonies, they're in the coffin. You gotta symbolically go through death. A lot of people argue that in 2020, the masks were part of this sort of initiation process. Because that's what they do in Freemasons. They put the hoodwink on. It's like you're blinded until you can be reborn and you can see the light. So anyway, the weekend goes underground. A force drags him to the elevator. And he goes inside the elevator. The devil. Then the next video, the elevator goes up. And he's chasing after a chick with an axe because now he's like possessed. He's got the red eyes. He ends up getting his head lopped off, which is, again, in that on my episodes talking about that, we talked about, there was a book I referenced where they talk about the separation of the head from the body, particularly of the Ethiopian, which the weekend is Ethiopian. And how that's part of the blackening process. It's also very bizarre, isn't it? Anyhow. Then, in the Super Bowl, we see the different versions of the weekend. You see, you know, the Super Bowl, it was wild. They showed the fallen angel with the devil eyes again. He's in Las Vegas, which he confirms as hell. If you look at the track listings on his album, it says heaven or Las Vegas. What does that mean? Of course, you know what it means. So he's in hell. He goes through a mind fracture. There's many versions of the weekend. That's the showing us the death of the false ego. And it goes on and on. But anyway, in those sequences, if you heard those episodes I did back in February. I did two episodes. I did like a primer episode and then the post-analysis episode. You can hear all about that. That was in January and February of 2020. But, yeah, as you saw in those videos, the elevator, again, represents the devil. So when Prince died at Paisley Park, I conjectured it would have something to do with the devil, and sure enough, it does. Because the TMZ released the photos, and there he was, crumpled up in front of the elevator. On top of some astrological symbols on the floor that he had. Some alchemical sun and moon alchemical wedding symbols. You guys hear those loud birds outside my window? It's a beautiful day. You know, and funny enough, in alchemy, they call it the language of the birds. Because birds have a different level of consciousness. I don't know if it's a higher level of consciousness. I mean, they're animals. But the language of the birds represents a higher form of consciousness, a different kind of connection. And there's some quantum physics ideas of entanglement there, how the birds can be entangled, how they change directions when they're flying, and all that kind of stuff. So those birds ruining the audio of this podcast are relevant to the conversation. And I like the birds chirping, so... Anyway, talk about birds. Next. These NFTs, I'm going to do a show on NFTs someday here. I've got all the notes ready for it. I want to talk to Freeman Fly. You know Freeman, he's an OG, he's a legend. He doesn't do shows too often. He did one with Sam Tripoli, I believe. I was surprised to see that. But, you know, Sam's a stud. He's quickly become the king of podcasting for conspiracies. I don't know if Freeman will get on here. I want to pick his brain because he's very into the NFTs. But I've done a lot of research on them, contemplated doing one. I'm not that good of an artist. I don't know if I can do it. But looking at this one, maybe that'll change my mind. There's a. I'm going to read you from CNBC.com. COVID alien. I can't even say it. COVID alien CryptoPunk NFT sells for over $11.7 million to billionaire buyer in Sotheby's auction. Now, I'm not very hip to the art world, but I know that Sotheby's is an auction where the people buy and sell artwork. Let's read to you some relevant information about it. This is, I guess there's like a bunch of CryptoPunk arts. This one is 7523 called COVID Alien. And they consider it to be a rare NFT collectible. It's one of nine alien punks in the entire series and the only one with a mask. Now, why do people buy these? You got to separate the idea of art from cryptos. Because, like, traditionally you think, well, I'm buying a piece of art. I want something I can hold in my hand and put on the wall. This is more of like investing in crypto to me. If anything, it's almost better in some ways. Because you buy, like, Bitcoin, for instance. You buy Bitcoin and you just have a number in your wallet, in your digital wallet, and that's it. Well, the NFTs, you get at least a piece of digital art with it. And people say, well, you could just, you know, copy and paste it anywhere. Like, you don't need to pay for that. I mean, I'm looking at this million, you know, $11 million piece of art right now. I can just copy it right off my screen. Yeah, but I can copy it, but I can't resell that. Like, there's a blockchain serial number, as it were, connected to this piece of art. So this guy, or girl, or whoever, that bought this, owns, through the blockchain, authenticated and verified this piece of art. Kind of like Bitcoin. So they could later sell it and confirm it's theirs. And if you don't know what CryptoPunks are, it's like these very pixelated avatars. It says there's 10,000 in existence and no two are exactly alike. And these are known as some of the earliest NFTs, going all the way back to 2017. And they were originally for free, but since NFTs have become a thing, now they're selling them for millions of dollars. And the reason why people invest in this is because, you know, you buy them and then you later sell them. And from what I hear, when you got it like that, you gotta put your money somewhere to avoid paying taxes, and the art game is what that's for. Again, don't ask me. But that's what I've heard. Now, how curious is it that it's playing on the alien hype, the alien agenda? It is June, the month that we're getting the big disclosure report, and all the media's in a frenzy about it. All the shows are talking about it. I wrote a couple books about it. You know what I'm saying? Aliens, UFOs, and the Occult, Usual Illusion 1 and 2, now available. Amazon. Audible version of Usual Illusion 2 will be up in July. But yeah, it's curious that they're doing, you know, a bit of a play on the alien stuff. Speaking of aliens, there is a, I'm going to read to you from futurism.com. Physicist warns that contacting aliens could end all life on Earth. Quote, attempting to communicate with extraterrestrials, if they do exist, could be extremely dangerous for us. Wasn't that something? This guy's name is Mark Buchanan. He's a physicist and editor of Nature. Wrote a piece in Washington Post, which I couldn't access, so I'm over here on futurism.com, where it's giving me some ideas here about what the article says. And it says, chances are, though, that we should all be grateful that we don't yet have any evidence of contact with alien civilizations. Attempting to communicate with extraterrestrials, if they do exist, could be extremely dangerous for us. We need to figure out whether it's wise or safe and how to handle such attempts in an organized manner, which has been my concern. Is that they are trying, I mean, there's many different angles to this, right? Like Dr. Stephen Greer through Demi Lovato. They're trying to convince everyone that they should go out and meditate and contact these aliens. Which, like, fine, I guess. But these are my concerns, too. I think we're messing with, this is like having everybody go ghost hunt. He says further, the search for aliens has reached a stage of technological sophistication and associated risk that it needs strict regulation at national and international level. So they're tying some bureaucratic ideas behind this. And much like you saw from some of the voices on the sort of Lou Elizondo, Tom DeLonge side of the house, there's been a certain ideas that we need to beef up intelligence And you know what that means? You need to invade the privacy a little bit. It's kind of what they did after 9/11 with the Patriot Act. Oh, we need more. We need the intelligence people to have more power to protect you. So they passed the Patriot Act, and now it's just, you know, they can read all the emails and all the phone calls, and they'll never abuse it except for those guys that were listening to some dude's ex-wife cheating on them or something. Remember that? But hey, you know what? Maybe they stopped some attacks. I don't know. Couldn't tell you. But this guy seems to be in the camp of regulation. And I would argue he has a problem with Dr. Greer teaching people how to do this on their own. And what's curious is that you'll see how the media and, you know, the Pentagon or whoever, they've been drumming up interest in this and telling people, like, yeah, they're real. Yeah, they're real. And my argument has been that if more people believe in it, the more that it becomes a reality. And you've got these big names, these former presidents coming out and talking about it. Obama talked about it recently. Then Bill Clinton talked about it, right? He was on, I got some notes on this too. He was on Live with Kelly and Ryan. And he said, I mean, I think he used to, back in the 90s, talk about how he believed it, like how he wanted to see Area 51 and all that. He says, the truth is, we've never proved one, but there are things flying around up there that we haven't fully identified yet. And then he gave us the sort of trope that they do. He says, he's talking to Kelly Ripa, Ryan Seacrest, they're going to get to the bottom of it. And Clinton says, keep in mind there are billions of galaxies in an ever-expanding universe. I mean, you can't even get your mind around the sheer number of things that are out there. No one knows, but I think the probability is that there's something you would call life somewhere else. And I don't know if I don't... That's the argument everyone uses. Oh my God, everything's, the universe is so big, there's so many aliens and they're everywhere, oh my God. Well, you would think that we'd have more evidence. Besides some sketchy videos and some testimonies from very doubtful stories. Like, I've talked about my doubts in Commander Fravor's story on Joe Rogan. If you heard that one years ago, we did that a few years ago. David Fravor, who talked about how his wife and mother-in-law were obsessed with UFOs, and every time he would go out on a flying mission, he would come home and they'd say, hey, did you see UFOs? And he'd say, no, sorry. Then he went and saw some, came home, didn't mention it. That weekend goes to a bar with some other pilots, and they're openly talking about it at a bar, this possibly classified thing. They're just talking about it at the bar, having a good time. Then fast forward, I don't know, weeks, months. It's on the TV, the news about the video, because Tom DeLonge leaked it. Freemason Tom DeLonge got it leaked. And his wife sees it and says, hey, look, UFOs. And he says, oh, yeah, that was me. I don't know if I buy that story. I mean, I'm paraphrasing that. That's off of my garbage memory. I could be off a little bit, but if you listen to my show talking about it, that's somewhat along the lines of how the story went. You believe that? I don't believe that. I don't believe you would see UFOs, not tell your wife and mother-in-law who are obsessed with UFOs, but you would go talk to your buddies at the bar. I don't believe it. Something doesn't sit well with me. Finally, Fortnite. I don't know much about Fortnite, but I know because my man Andrew sent me an email about this. Season 7 has a new Battle Pass trailer. I don't know what these words mean, but I do know when you watch the video that UFOs and aliens are part of the thing. They show things getting abducted. The trailer on YouTube shows, you know, various characters fighting the aliens, fighting the UFOs, the invasion. because they want to get the kids involved, right? This is much like the fast food industry and, you know, cereal even. And this is all like Bernaysian and propaganda 101. The kids are the most impressionable. Because I don't think they're going to get, like, the older folks on board with this alien stuff. But, like, the younger folks, probably, you know, you soak them in enough of this from a young age. And, it, you know, just give it 20 years. The old people die off, the young people take over, and boom. Just like that. That's how you set up the global religion or the global government or whatever they're trying to do here. In fact, there's a Fran Lebowitz. You know, she's an older lady. She was on a podcast. Where's my notes? Almost forgot this one. Do you believe in aliens? They asked her. She said, aliens, no. Why do people believe in this stuff? Isn't life on Earth bad enough? And that's kind of my thing, man. Like, why are we trying to go to Mars and make contact with these other things? Like, we've got enough issues we could fix here. But, like, I don't think that's the point. I think they want people pretty distracted and pretty, get their minds distracted with other things so they can keep doing what they're doing, which is crushing the middle class, which is part of the Great Reset, which that's what I'm deep, deep, deep diving into. We're going to go into that in the next episode. When will I have it done? I don't know. By the end of June, for sure. But, like, all these food shortages, all this, you know, lumber, the increasing in prices and the housing, and these corporations are buying up the housing and stuff. It's all part of the plan. You got to squeeze out that middle class. You got to crush them. So you can have total control. Because, like, capitalism gave us a pretty good system that ran well for a long time. And it kind of went unchecked. So there you go. That's our... I cleared the palette. That's all the miscellaneous news. Your TMZ Illuminate confirmed. I'll be back to talk Great Reset Part 1 million. So if you're not familiar with the Great Reset, go back in the last 6 months. I did a bunch of shows on it. Check it out. I think a couple of them were bonus episodes, so you'd have to be on one of my three platforms. You know which ones they are. Link in the show notes. Go to IlluminatiWatcher.com and hit the VIP tab, and you can compare the three. See which one you like. We got Rockfin, if you want to get on the Rockfin gang. We got the IlluminatiWatcher.com VIP section. Or you got Patreon.com/IlluminatiWatcher. I don't care which one you like. Whichever one you like sounds good to me. Or maybe you don't want to support the show. That's okay, too. I get it. They're squeezing the middle class, and sometimes you got to pay your bills, so pay your bills. All right. Thanks for your time. Thanks for your support. Links in the show notes, as always. And until next time, you know what to do, my friend. You're going to stay woke.